What up, guys? Welcome to the Winning Circle. It's your boy Nika 100 out here chilling with Turtle.
What up, what up?
And Patrick Daly.
Hello.
The Winning Circle is a place where we speak about winning. And even when we lose, we find a way to use that to win in the future.
Whether it's current events, mental health issues, or anything that's on our minds, this is a platform for us to share, speak, and learn.
So let's get it started, y'all.
What it do, baby?
What up?
Howdy.
Hey, that was up.
Howdy, boys.
Almost you got me there. How's everybody doing, huh?
I'm feeling good.
There you go. Cowboy Daly, how you doing, everything?
I'm chilling, dude.
Chilling?
Yeah.
Chilling. Man, cool. Welcome back again. Feels good. Nothing's been canceled yet. California might get canceled again.
Yeah.
Turns out they want to stop everything all over again. By the way, thank God, $300 fine for not wearing your mask or some shit like
that. Only in West Hollywood, though.
Still, West Hollywood is a good change because a lot of white people out there that don't want to wear masks now are like, well, it's the law. Yeah. Law is the word.
Yeah, there's a few. I think there's some other places too, like some beaches and stuff.
Okay.
I think there was like a $1,000 fine just for being on a closed beach now.
Yeah, I heard they were hard on that.
Word.
Yeah, they were all up on the beaches to make it.
We're not playing games out here.
For 4th of July weekend, they were just like, nah.
What happened to that beach that got flooded, right? I heard about that.
Yeah, what the hell was all that?
Yeah, that was random. Newport?
Yeah, Newport Beach.
The whole neighborhood was just flooded. Hot ass summer day.
Yeah.
That was weird.
California's falling apart, man. This world.
The whole world.
What was that movie? 2020,
2012? 2012. Yeah. A little late.
And you guys like those type of movies? Scary movies? Not like a...
You mean like a disaster movie?
Just a quick question. I don't know why this came up. Do you guys like scary movies? Like scary stuff?
No.
Yeah, I like scary movies.
At home?
You mean like not in the theater?
Not in theater. You want to do it at home? I like theater because there's stuff you do after. You know what I mean? You go to the theater.
You're removing yourself from.
Yeah. Then after that, you can go like get drinks or like eat or something, and then you go home. But when you watch a scary movie at home and you're done with it, you're just at home.
You're sitting by the same TV you just watched that on. Go to bed.
I can't do that. Not do that. But I mean, speaking about scary shit, right? Today's topic, let's talk about some scary stuff for a lot of people on there. It's something that we do have to talk about, a little controversial, but we got to knock it out the park just to share our opinions on it. And that is the Black Lives Matter movement.
Mm-hmm.
Black Lives Matter.
Let
me pronounce that correct. And everything going on, not only in the city of Los Angeles, California, state, the whole goddamn United States, protests all over the world.
Not even worldwide, yeah.
You know, coming together for one cause, and that is Black Lives Matter.
Right.
Okay. Just want your guys' opinions on that real quick. How do you guys feel about that? What's the experience you see from that?
I'm with it 100%.
Right,
same here. You know, it was a crazy time also that, you know, all the protesting came with, you know,
right,
COVID being here and everything. You know, I was hesitant to go to a protest myself, but you know, I found one on a bike ride, and you know, to see, you know, the experience of everyone coming together and, you know, being, you know, careful as well too, wearing the mask and everything. But, you know, I got the best experience ever that I've never seen a cop kneel.
Right, you know? Okay.
And I was just there right. And I have a picture on my phone, too. Like, I just pulled up just right there next to me. And he just, like, I hear y'all. Like,
damn.
I respect
him. What was his race?
He was black. And then just to see other cops, though, not kneel, made me realize also, like, okay, that's something... That's real right there, you know, that they don't
want. So just to get the whole picture of what's going on, right? So you said you was on a bike ride in the downtown LA. This is definitely after the Black Lives Matter movement already started. There was already protests. You found a protest. People were kneeling in front of police.
Yeah.
Right? Well, so there was police guard, or how was that?
Yeah, they just closed down the street so, you know, they could protest in peace and everything. And then, you know, the one that was doing the protest, he said to everyone to kneel on one foot, right? And he told the cops, like, kneel with us.
Kneel on one knee.
On one knee, my bad.
Yeah.
And, and you know, they were, some were hesitant, and then they did it. But some, like, just did it off the bat. Like, oh, we hear you guys.
So you were able to see some police participate with you guys. Yep. And some of the same people in uniform right there didn't participate.
Yeah, they didn't. They just stand there. It was just stand there with chest out and everything. I was like, all right, well.
That's crazy, man. But you know, not to jump ahead and to get straight into the protests, as I want to talk about that a little bit later. just go. I honestly wanted to see like what feelings came out of this, right? Because seeing the video, right, that started this whole thing, which is, it didn't really start the whole thing. It just escalated a problem that was already going on, right, and a highlighted an issue going on, right?
Right.
When I saw that video, you know, I come from a place where, unfortunately, growing up, I dealt with anger issues and I was very, I outlashed a lot, you know? So I know what it looks like when you want to hurt somebody, mm-hmm, right? I see that look in your face. Because I was there. I do that. I did that. I don't do that. I did that. Mm-hmm. And seeing that video, you could see the ego in that cop's face and the fact that he didn't give a fuck about shit but hurting this person. He was taking enjoyment in it. There wasn't a smile on him.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't laughing. But the way he was putting that knee into the man's neck,
yeah,
was definitely him enjoying that. You know, and that made me feel a certain type of way. Because that's, well, somebody's supposed to protect us,
right?
You know, yeah, cops, you know, something happens,
you're, yeah, that's a big part of it. Is like, if I saw a video of just a white dude doing that to George Floyd, it's a totally different context, and obviously it's terrible, and I would hope that that guy would get the full extent of the law that he's breaking by doing so,
right.
But the fact that it's a cop doing it, and like, you're taught in third grade or whatever, like the public school is the one teaching you that they're here to help you.
Right. You know, definitely, what I'm saying? You know, growing up as a little kid, before you get tainted by, you know, especially out here in LA, by public school, cops is kind of like heroes, like superheroes, you know, mm-hmm, cops, mm-hmm, and firemen, like you're excited to see them.
They come to your school and give little speeches, yeah, and you're excited about it and stuff.
Right. You see, they come with a little canine. You're like, yo, this is dope. Like, you honestly see them as
play with the handcuffs.
Yeah. Yeah. Take a picture with them and all that. Yeah. Now it's the complete opposite, you know? And on that note, I know a lot of people are saying, well, it's just one bad cop. It was one bad person. You know, it can't be the whole system. It can't be all of that. And I totally understand that. It was just one bad cop. And I totally understand there is a lot of good cops. I'm actually friends with people that are cops. I got people that I see really close that I admire that became cops, that have family, you know, put a cop heritage. That's like what they do, you know, and those are good people. But we're not speaking about that. We're speaking about the actual issue, which is the overwhelming amount of times that the cops don't do their job, and the fact that it's happening. Now, I'm not going to say on people of color, because the issue is highlighted on black people, black men, black women.
That's who it's worse for, is black men.
Yeah. So it's like, that's another reason why I hate the whole all lives matter, you know? And since I'm on that topic, might as well. Hispanics that are like trying to bring in their own issues to what's going on and trying to use the Black Lives Matters movement to highlight their own stuff, you're doing a disservice to the actual problem, because,
mm-hmm,
now you're trying to bunch everything up together and it's just flooding the waters and you can't really, yeah, see what it's about. And we need to stand with each other together to really address the problem.
I think, you know, the solution benefits all people of color once we're able to solve like the system that's inherently racist. Once we're able to change it and take the things away from it that need to be taken away, that it will automatically benefit Hispanics and Asians as well.
Right, definitely.
But, and not even that, just minorities in general, like, right, any kind of minority. But the fact of the matter is, there's so much history when it comes to specifically black people, and they're the ones getting it the worst. Like, there's no question that they're the ones just oppressed from literally from the genesis of the country. So
listen, if you're one of those people that say, well, if they aren't looking for it, well, they just listened, well, they just did this, fuck you.
Yeah.
Honestly, you're stupid as fuck that you think your opinions and how you believe it should work is the way that it's actually working.
Yeah.
A lot of times these people are listening and they're paying attention and trying to cooperate.
Well, and I read something too that was, even if they're not, that's not the judge. He, yeah, doesn't get to decide. The judge, the jury, they decide if the person, you could have watched him murder somebody and you're still not allowed to kill him, right? Yeah. It has to go to trial. That's the beauty of America. Like, that's, mm-hmm, one of the best things about America is the
that's justice. What it's supposed to be.
It's, yeah, supposed to be, yeah, that way. It hasn't been that way. It's never that way, but it's, when it's working properly, you have no right, no matter what the crime is, to kill a man in cold blood. That's just not something that's your right as a police officer.
So with that, speaking on police officers and our opinions about that, is there any experiences that you have, or how do you guys feel when you do see a police officer or encounter them? I saw a video of a little kid playing basketball in front of his house, you know, just shooting the shot and saw a patrol car coming up and hit behind a car.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and
I saw that as well.
I could, you know, I could relate to that because even though growing up, we weren't doing nothing wrong.
Yeah.
It was like, hey, shit, the cops are right there, dog. Chill out.
Right.
You know, and it's like, we're not doing shit. You know, even now as an adult, right? If I'm getting pulled over and a cop's behind me, I'm like, shit, man. You know, I don't got nothing on me. I don't got nothing illegal on me. And I'm just like, fuck. Like, I wonder where this is going to go. I don't know the outcome to it, you know? And to those people that say, well, maybe if you listen, I'd be real respectful. I got time. When you get pulled over, both hands on the steering wheel, remove your hat so the cop can see your face. Mm-hmm. Don't have nothing in your way that might seem a certain way. All movements slow so they can see them.
Yeah.
Real respectful.
That's fucking ridiculous, though. Yeah. Like, why we have to treat a cop like it's a fucking, we're in a cage with a lion. And we gotta, don't make any quick movement. No, how about he acts like a normal human being and isn't ready to shoot me right away? Like, how about that's the furthest thought from his mind? That should be the,
right,
the idea.
Yeah. So, I mean, any experiences you guys have, anything that, you know, how you feel about it? You know, I think really want to put that point across because obviously, you know, Patrick, you're a white male growing up in LA. You know, we're both minorities that grew up in LA. So it's like, just to get the different perspective, different, you know, what you see, especially working, you know, in one of the craziest cities, maybe in Southern California, you see cops from the outside in, you know, you might not experience with them directly, but you see how they act with other people.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, I definitely, growing up, I went through the phase where like they were like heroic and I was all into like the DARE stuff and like police activities league. I was playing sports and stuff for like the things that the cops set up with the city, which I think is like one of the very constructive aspects of like the police system, is like offering, the idea is that you're offering an outlet for little kids to.
But you grew up in a smaller town, right?
No, I grew up in like a pretty populous.
Okay.
with a larger minority presence, for sure.
Okay.
Once I started driving, I would always become very nervous with any interaction with a cop. Just because, not because I was necessarily in fear for my life, but just because, I don't know, it's just like the interactions are very uncomfortable. Probably your because of feeling. That. Yeah, it's just like you think you're doing something wrong when you weren't. Or like, let's say you were just speeding, but you're like, damn, like, why do I feel like I have like drugs in my trunk right now? but then, I mean, I've definitely, when I came to LA is when I would see like the difference between how I'm being treated versus people of color. I remember one time on New Year's Eve, like years ago, I was hanging out with a lot of my coworkers who are primarily Mexican, and then there was one other white person with me, and we were all had been drinking at work, and we just got off work and we were heading to my apartment, walking on Hollywood Boulevard to continue drinking and, you know, celebrate the new year. So being as there's a police officer on pretty much every corner, we were drunk, walking home, ran into a friend who was very visibly upset. Asked him what was up. He was like, this dude was trying me. He was like trying to bang on me and stuff. And we were like, who was it? Like, what? And he was like, nah, he's gone. And then this other guy happened to walk by and like give us kind of a weird look. And we were like, was that the guy? And like, my friend who was upset was also very drunk. And so he was like, man, I don't know. And, you know, the homie was like, all right, well, we got to go get this guy.
Yeah.
So he's walking and just provoking the guy, and I'm just walking behind him because I want to be there in case anything goes down. And basically what ends up happening is they get into an altercation, and my friend hits this guy who just happened to be walking down the street, and immediately the cops were there because they were right there. They watched the whole thing happen, and the cops showed up and were like, what the fuck's going on? And we were just like, man, this guy was like causing problems or whatever. And the cops just looked at all of us and were just like, get the fuck out of here, and told us to leave. And all three of them, the Mexican coworkers I was with, were all just like, what the fuck? He just told you guys to go home? Like, what are you talking about?
Right.
They were like, that's what being white is, man. Like, we would have been in cuffs right away. Like, yeah, no definitely. Questions. So, that's just an example that sticks out of, like pure white privilege.
I mean, it's crazy. I mean, listen, I'm not stupid or I'm a lot of myself, right? Like, I get it that I could get profiled by the way I look, and I mean, I'm fucking the way I act, you know what I'm saying? But sometimes it's just a little hilarious, just like getting pulled over. I got tattoos, and it's like, hey, like the provocation, I've been provoked. Hey, any of those tattoos gang tattoos? nah, man, just, you know, tattoos and stuff I like. Man, you know, acting like a real pussy. If you from a gang, you're not claiming it right now just because I'm a cop. If you got tattoos, I mean, I guess you're not really about that life, huh? And I'm just like, what? Yeah. I said, nah, bro. I was like, you know, I was like, yo, this is a tattoo of some music that I got. Mm-hmm. This is like a bear because my mama called me a bear. You know what I mean? Like, you try to explain to him. He goes, so you ain't from a gang. How many times I got to answer this question? And also, if I was, I don't know the way the gang rules work. Why the fuck would I tell you you a cop? I don't want to get arrested.
Right.
You know, and this is a conversation that I had over literally nothing. The cop didn't have a reason, nothing. He just pulled up on me and started questioning me like that, trying to provoke me to see right. if I would do something. And then just left, you know? And that's something that I don't think nobody else experiences. Like, yeah. if you're not from...
White shit. People don't experience that,
for yeah, sure. Yeah, you know? But, yeah, any experiences with you, yeah. though? Turtle?
Yeah. No, I have one. I have one. This happened when I was, like, 16, 17. And since then, I already knew, like, yo, I have to... Well, I'll tell you the story right now. So I was walking home with my headphones on, and the cop was on the side of me. I was listening to music loud, so I wasn't paying attention, and I never looked at him in their eye because I, well, I don't have anything illegal.
Right.
So I'm going home, and, you know, I cross the street, and he puts the car in front of me. He's like, hey. He's like, well, what's up? He's like, I've been talking to you. I was up on the side of you. Hello, didn't you see me? I was like, no, I'm going home looking straight. He's just like, all right, where are you coming from? Like, school and hanging out and stuff. And it's like, oh, let me check your backpack. It's like, all right. The thing that I'm still, I can't believe it happened. And he's like, oh, you're from a gang or anything? No. You know, I don't have, at that point, I have no tattoos or anything. So he's like, oh, someone just did a robbery right here and has your description. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have anything in my backpack, as you can see. And he was just testing me, trying to, like, provoke me, like, you know, to you.
But right.
He literally told me, like, put your hands on top of the hood. And that motherfucker was hot.
Yeah.
And I just remember, he's like, yo, it's hot. Like, it's been running, you know. And he's like, just leaving there. He's like, are you lying? And I was like, no, like, I am not lying to you. And I remember just leaving my hands. He's like, all right, you could get all your hands up. And he gave me my backpack. He's like, all right, go home. And my hands were red. And I remember I was just like, that's the only reason why I actually stare at a cop's eyes now to this day. Because I want them to know, I see you, I'm not doing anything.
Right.
But yeah, that's when I was 16, 17. So when cops look at me, I kind of, like, I already know, like, oh, be prepared, you know, to deal with something like that.
Right, but I think that goes back to, like, what Patrick was saying, like, there's not a lion in the cage. You shouldn't be feeling that you got to prepare yourself for the worst, which is like a natural feeling to have now when dealing with the police. Yeah. You know, and I'm not gonna sit here and be like, every experience I ever had with a police officer has been a horrible experience. I've had some decent experiences, some decent altercations with cops, you know, especially, you know, when I had my car that I modded up. You know, sometimes it was just a conversation like, oh man, I got one too. A normal person, right?
Yeah.
But that there's less those, you know, less of those experiences than experiences that I've had that are negative, you yeah. know, stuff that's crazy that shouldn't be natural.
Yeah, but also, like, you know, if you had 100 times in a row where a cop was really nice to you and then the 101st time he shot you and killed you, like,
none of that matters.
Yeah.
Then, right?
True.
You know, and it's I don't know. The way I really do feel about it is the way I feel about most things in this country, to be honest. It's a very old thing that was made before we had things that we have now, you know, like,
yeah,
certain laws and stuff. We didn't even have cars back in the days when certain laws were made, you know.
Yeah.
Now we got iPhones that they used to send letters with fucking pigeons. Yeah. You know, like, send a dude on a horse to send a letter across the fucking country. Yeah. You know what I mean? And some of those laws from the time where there was horses sending messages is still in place, you yeah. know. There's still things. I think everything, I think the proper word, right, reform, changed, looked at, broken down, and built back up.
Yeah.
You know, because obviously there's a major problem. And I think one thing that I connected with that I saw was if one surgeon fucks somebody up, they're not just like, well, it was a mistake. Let's see if he gets better next time.
Yeah.
Dude loses his job, loses his license, can never be a doctor ever again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and some of these cops, especially with this incident that we're speaking about, 16 cases on him, right, of misdemeanor conduct.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
he's had actually killed somebody before.
Wild.
Yeah.
You know, like, how was that okay? How was that slip through the system? And that's not just the problem.
It does. There. It didn't slip through the system. The system is designed to protect him and not have him pay the consequences right. for his actions. And that's the, you know, it's interesting when you were talking about the protests you went to, Turtle, because it's like the cops are like, some of the cops, specifically black ones, were kneeling with the protest, and then the other ones refused to kneel. And I just wonder, like, within that fraternity, and like low-key, I look at like police precincts and stuff as kind of like a gang,
right?
Where it's like there's like this code, you don't betray each other, there's no like, it's all about protecting each other no matter what happens, right. No matter what you do wrong, this system, right. this network is here to protect you, right. And I just wonder, like, when they get back to the offices or whatever, like, how that cop who was kneeling looks at the dude who wasn't, and vice versa, and like, does that create tension between them, or what's going on?
Right. Well, one thing that I know of, that I had this conversation with one of my friends who once again is a cop, and it was kind of like that, you know. I was like, so what do you do about somebody that is blatantly doing something wrong, you know, because we were just having an argument. And he said, well, when he was brand new coming up, if he saw his officer above him doing something that he shouldn't be doing, right, something illegal, taking money from somebody or just not doing the job right, he would not say nothing.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you can't say nothing. You're
because you get fired,
destroying your career.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, if you piss off somebody with seniority, somebody that has a high ranking, you're never going to be able to work anywhere, right? He goes, even now where I'm at in his job now, he has years in. He's like, I'll check a younger cop, a fresh one, you know, fresh boots. I'll put him in his place, but somebody else, I'm not going to say nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the best thing you could do, he says, when you're new, is just kind of tough it out and then be able to switch somewhere else or hope you get somebody better. But you can't really do nothing. And it's like, so back to that, you know, the system is meant to keep that within.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's really hard. That's why that whole idea of like, well, there is good cops. I'm like, yeah, but if they could do something, they would have done it by now, you know? And a lot of cops, I don't know, it's hard on that, man. But bringing it right back to the protests and some cops kneeling and some not, what do you guys think about the protests? How do you feel about the protests? Did you protest yourself? Did you do anything with that?
Yeah, I went to the big one. Well, I've been to a couple, but I went to the big one in Hollywood.
Okay.
On, I think it was June 6th or something, or right around there. It was the one that, like, on Instagram the next day, it was just like the whole boulevard was wall-to-wall people. That was really, really an amazing experience. The cool thing about that is there were no cops present, because I think at that point, Eric Garcetti had told the police to not get involved, because right. he felt like they were provoking situations, turning peaceful protests into non-peaceful protests by being there and, you know, making, like you said, making everyone feel uncomfortable.
Right.
It was just totally positive, dude. Like, a lot of people, it's empowering, because, you know, if you go on Instagram or like comment sections, you feel like you're taking crazy pills, man. You just see all these people just saying the dumbest shit, just some really like ignorant, just being like shitty people saying stuff about like, oh, well, God bless those cops, like,
right,
you know, just like some really racist shit. And then you start to wonder if like the world really is terrible, and then right. you go to these protests and you're like, oh, okay, no, there's 30,000 people here that are like on my side, so I'm not alone. So that was really cool. And then just like, you just look around and there's every race, both all genders, if you want to, you know, frame it that way.
Right.
Kids, animals, and everyone's just like good music, good vibes, having a good time. Like, it was just a really positive protest. It wasn't, there was nothing like negative or violent about it, which I think is also ironic, because that's how the media is trying to portray these as like a bunch of thugs and animals. And it was like, nah, it was just some really positive people trying to
Some of the things that I saw was like, people got kids out there. There's no way in hell somebody would feel comfortable to bring their child out to something that was going to be violent or aggressive.
Yeah.
You know, any other experiences with you, Turtle? Did you do any protesting, or was that kind of like the only
I'm not gonna even lie. I just did that one because I'm still, COVID is still, you know, a real thing.
Right.
Surrounding yourself with a lot of people.
That's the other thing that kind of made it really impressive and beautiful, the movement, is that people were just, the people are so fed up that they're like, nah, I'm taking the risk. Like,
right, definitely.
Fuck that.
Yeah. Well, I took the risk from that one, you know, and I tried to go to other ones, but they're just like overpacked for me personally, you know, so, but I did attend one and I'm very happy the one I attend with, to be honest.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was on the same boat kind of where, COVID was the thing that was my main concern. Mm-hmm. Felt bad because I do agree with the movement and I do feel like I should be contributing to it and not on the sidelines. But so I did a couple things, you know, outside of it online. But yeah, I was kind of involved in it real crazy because there was a whole protest happening right in front of my house. Like 4 days in a row. It was wild, like, to That's see cool. it happen. You know, I was telling my pops just to play Fuck Donald Trump with my YG on the big speaker. Yeah. You know, let everybody know we're with them. But yeah, and then also another reason why I did it was because later in the night, it's turned into like rioting and looting, which is mm-hmm. something that I feel like we can't ignore. We have to talk about. My opinion on that, everybody's saying, was like, why are they rioting and looting? I do feel bad for minority business owners mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. were attacked and did suffer losses, and it's an unfair consequence, right? But I'm not making excuses for the people that were doing that. Obviously, it's different from protesters. The rioters are certain people that were out there actually committing crimes. Right. If you saw some of the live videos, I found it kind of impressive the way they were. They had like cars ready inside of a shop, boom boom, in a car, out, switch cars. Like it was crazy. So you could tell it wasn't just regular people.
They were waiting for that moment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's people taking advantage of an opportunity, and I think it's fucked up to take away from the peaceful stuff of on it. But at the same time, everybody's like, well, why can't it just be peaceful? And this is like, how much more peaceful protests, and how many more times do we have to bring this up throughout the years? Because this isn't a 2020 thing. It's a thing that's been going on. It's been problems, you know? How much louder do you need to get? And how much louder is that from literally taking away from what people have and forcing you to listen?
That's, there's a couple of things. And like, I think there are people who, there were looting taking place that was definitely like opportunism and like, oh, well, just a chance for me to come up on some shit I've been wanting. Or like, let me just swing by the shoe store real quick and, you know, but there was a lot of rioting and vandalism that I think was like actual channeled anger from people that were involved earlier in the peaceful protests. Not all of them, nowhere near all of them, a very small percentage. But my opinion is you don't get to, you can't treat someone unfairly for 400 years and then you still get to choose how they express their anger. Like, that's not the way it works.
That's awesome. You awesome statement, actually. Yeah.
You don't, you're not, you don't get to decide. You don't get to, well, just be quiet and peaceful. No. You, this is a result of the way things are. So like, if someone wants to go peacefully protest and walk down the street, that's their right. If someone wants to create a petition online, that's their right. But if someone, you don't get to decide that they're not going to break some windows. Like that's pure anger. You can't decide what they do with that.
Right, definitely. Yeah, I felt a certain way. I was glad that I wasn't 21 at the time, right? Because like a young me would have been out there doing stupid shit for no reason and kind of feel like I would have been part of a problem instead of part of a solution, because I definitely would have not been doing it because I felt the movement. I would have been doing it because I was a goddamn knucklehead.
Right.
Which is the way I do feel a lot of the people who are involved in that are just knuckleheads.
Right.
You know? And it's a shame that the main focus kind of for a while really just focused on that. Like, it just dropped down to that and took away from everything else.
That's a pretty classic strategy, though, I think, in like the scheme of American history.
Yeah.
To vilify and portray. It's just a cycle of like, you let them have their protests and express themselves, and then you wait or perhaps instigate them into being violent, and then now you can undermine the whole argument.
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, dude, just on that note, right, the things they were showing about random bricks being shown up in corners and stuff like that, videos of cops breaking windows, like kind of baiting people to go inside. You know, it's the way it works, it really feels like they were trying to take away from it and distract everyone from the positivity on it and be like, look at these animals, in their words, you know?
But in another sense, I do agree with what you were kind of getting at before, which is that, you know, you got to make them feel you. And,
yeah.
And one of the ways to make them feel you is to fuck with their money. Like, that's...
Yeah.
No, that's a huge thing. Like...
Now they're forced to listen, is the way I saw it. Now yeah. they can't be like, ah, oh, whatever. They're protesting down the street.
And that's one of the, like...
They'll get tired.
One of the more exciting things about it for me, like, about this particular, like, iteration of this movement is when... big corporations are aligning themselves with the movement, and you can look at it and feel like that's probably like an like PR a marketing move. PR move like just to look good and align yourself, but to me that doesn't matter either way, because it goes back to the money thing, and the money thing is when real change happens, is like when money starts shifting. So like when the NFL is gonna say we were wrong, and like Roger Goodell makes a whole statement about being wrong about right, Kaepernick.
Crazy, yeah.
Like, I don't care why he's saying that. He might privately use the N-word in his own house and like he doesn't agree, but he's being forced to say that because the climate of America is such that they're going to make more money by siding with Black Lives Matter than by continuing to go against it. Right. And to me, that's the most exciting thing, because now when like old school racist institutions like NASCAR and the NFL are having to make these changes, whether they mean it or not, like that's to me is what kind of signifies that things might actually be able to change.
Yeah, that's wild, especially stuff like you said NASCAR, because to me when I think NASCAR is automatic redneck
white. Yeah.
You know, I think Budweiser and rednecks is what I think, you know.
I mean, the cool thing about NASCAR is you can like it's bring your own alcohol, so like
yep.
Imagine that. Imagine any other sport. You go to a Dodgers game and you just bring a cool, like, how sick would that be? Yeah. Like, even though fuck the Dodgers, but but I'm just saying, like, I get for that reason alone, I get the appeal of NASCAR. Like, you
right,
like, you just show up with a cooler, your own beers, and you just watch some cars drive real fast. Like, that sounds like a good time to me. But that's a whole side point. Yeah. It doesn't
say that for another episode. Yeah,
the NASCAR episode coming out next
week. Right. Real hot takes.
Also wanted to say is for the people that couldn't, you know, go out and protest, and I'm, you know, for us younger people, you know, I'm happy we went for, like, our parents. I think my dad was really happy for me as well, like going to one and everything.
Yeah. My dad was super stoked and proud because he was alive for the previous civil rights movements that took place.
Yeah, I mean, on that note, what about parents? You know, education, man. Speak, grow a bridge, talk to your parents, talk to your family. Some people are not willing to learn. Mm-hmm. And nothing you do, say, show, stats, numbers is going to matter to them. But some people do want to learn, and you do got to talk to them. You know, like with my parents especially, coming from another country over here, all they knew was what they were shown on TV and, you know, Spanish television. And if you know anything about Spanish television, it is exaggerated as hell. A chick would get smacked on a Spanish TV show and she would spin three circles.
Oh, yeah.
The house would shake. She would fall.
She falls through three windows.
Three windows, yeah. It's crazy. So they don't have any experiences. You know, they just what they've seen.
Right.
And luckily, you know, I got parents that are open-minded that I was able to talk to and show them the difference, and they were able to be on board with the situation. And a thing that I did with them a lot was stop looking at just like the bad of that. You know, if you just focus on the bad, you can find bad everywhere.
Right.
You know, you look at your own people from your country, from where you're from, you find a group of bad. You know, but you know that that's just a group of bad from everybody else.
Doesn't represent.
You know, so just speak and educate. I believe strongly that hate is top. Hate is definitely top.
Right.
You know, whether it's indirectly or directly, hate is definitely top. You know, and that's the only way, as corny as it sounds, me saying this out loud, you know, but love is really just the real only way to overcome all this.
Yeah.
You know
what I mean? Yeah, I mean, there's, it's, hate is taught, and I think there's like the cliche that like those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And it does feel like kind of we're going in a big cycle right now because, you know, this has been an issue for my whole life and my parents' whole life. And like, maybe there's like very minute improvements that have been made over time, but like, it's ridiculous that it's 2020 and things that are just now happening are things that you feel like I probably should have happened in like 1940 or something. Right. But, I think being open, learning, open-mindedness, the desire to learn and like kind of unlearn what you might have been taught, especially in like schooling. Definitely, where they're like teaching you like, I think I saw online like a picture of like an Egyptian pharaoh and he was like blonde and had blue eyes and shit. And it's just like, it's these little things that are so hardwired into our society to kind of detract from and oppress people of color. Yeah. And then like you guys are saying, and you kind of hit on it, Turtle, like if you didn't get to go to a protest, or you weren't comfortable, or you're like an at-risk person with COVID and it's, mm-hmm. you shouldn't be going out into a scenario like that. There's a lot of change that can and is happening on the internet. And I think we should, along with this episode, we'll probably put a little link in the, in our description of like a list of resources, things you can do right now on the internet that can immediately affect change. If you feel bad or didn't go to a protest, or there aren't any protests happening in your area right now, you can definitely check it out. And like, the internet is such a crazy, that's what I think has been fueling the movement so efficiently.
I think it's also something that benefits it, because there's more and more people now, especially people who felt a certain way, they're changing their minds, they are growing as people.
Oh yeah.
Is
yeah.
now it's like, it's more of a unity, and a lot of more people are seeing things a lot clearer for what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely.
All right. Well, you know, it's an in-depth subject, and I feel like we could probably just sit here and talk for 4 hours about this. Definitely. I definitely have about 10 hours worth of stuff to say about it, but I think for now we should wrap it up.
Yeah, man. Thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure to do me a huge favor. If you enjoyed this episode, or if you feel you know somebody that might enjoy this episode, please share it with somebody. Text it to one friend. Text it to your one cousin you don't like too much. Do something. Thank you for tuning in.
We're here with you every Thursday on Spotify
and Apple Podcasts.
Stay winning, y'all.
We out.